The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 17, Text Number 42. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on May 27th, 2014, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vrishasya Nashtan Trin Padam Tapa Saucham Dayam Iti Patisandadhe Ashvashya Mahim Cha Samavardayat Vrishasya Nashtan Trin Padam Tapashaucham dayam iti Patisandad ashvashya Mahincha samavardhayat Pishasya nashtang strin padan Tapasaucham dayam iti Patisandad ashvashya Mahincha samavardayat Vrishasya of the bull, the personality of religion, Nashtam lost, Trin three, Padam legs, Tapa austerity, Shaucham cleanliness, Dayam mercy, Iti thus, Patisandadhe re-established, Ashvashya by encouraging activities, Mahim the earth, Cha and Samavardayat perfectly improved. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, the king re-established the lost legs of the personality of religion, the bull, and by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth, purport. By designating particular places for the personality of Kali, Maharaj Parikshit practically cheated Kali. In the presence of Kali, Dharma in the shape of a bull, and the earth in the shape of a cow, he could actually estimate the general condition of his kingdom, and therefore he at once took proper steps to reestablish the legs of the bull, namely austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. And for the general benefit of the people of the world, he saw that the gold stock might be employed for stabilization. Gold is certainly a generator of falsity, intoxication, prostitution, enmity, and violence, but under the guidance of a proper king or public leader or a brahmana or a sannyasi, the same gold can be properly utilized to reestablish the lost legs of the bull, the personality of the jhum. Maharaj Pariksha, therefore, like his grandfather Arjuna, collected all illicit gold kept for the propensities of Kali and employed it in the Sankirtan Yajna, as per instruction of the Srimad Bhagavatam. As we have suggested before, one's accumulated wealth may be divided into three parts for distribution, namely 50% for the service of the Lord, 25% for the family members, and 25% for personal necessities. Spending 50% for the service of the Lord or for propagation of spiritual knowledge in society by the way of Sankirtan Yajna is the maximum benefit or the maximum display of human mercy. People of the world are generally in darkness regarding spiritual knowledge, especially in regard to the devotional service of the Lord, and therefore, to propagate the systematic transcendental knowledge and devotional service is the greatest mercy that one can show in this world. When everyone is taught to sacrifice 50% of his accumulated gold for the Lord's service, certainly austerity, cleanliness, and mercy automatically ensue, and thus the last three legs of the personality of religion are automatically established. When there is sufficient austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, naturally Mother Earth is completely satisfied, and there is very little chance for Kali to infiltrate the structure of human society.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine.
So the principle here is that when wealth is utilized in the Lord's service and everything becomes properly established. Money, money, sweeter than honey. That is the philosophy. Is it? What do they use it for? Sense gratification. And Prabhupada also said in Krishna consciousness, money is the honey. If it's used in Krishna's service, you see, for propagating the Sankirtan movement. The money is honey for us as well. So money is either honey or it's poison, depending on how it's utilized. If money is used for sense gratification, you go to hell. If money is used in the service of Krishna, you go back to home, back to Godhead. Present moment, here we are in the United States of America, a very wealthy country. The opulence here is just staggers the imagination. You go into some store and see how many aisles and aisles of all kinds of sense gratification goods. We were in Target a couple of days ago. It was just aisles and aisles and aisles of objects for sense gratification. And there's thousands of Target stores everywhere in this country. Huge facility for sense gratification. All this wealth, and what's it going for? Sense gratification. Therefore, no one's happy. Why? I mean, why you wouldn't be happy if you had a lot of sense gratification? It's very simple. Because we're not the body. Just like you go to the Sunday feast, there's a nice cup of sweet rice, you see. And you just stick your dhoti in the sweet rice. Will you get any satisfaction? You see. But if you put this sweet rice in your mouth, then you get very nice satisfaction. Why is that? Because you're not your dhoti. So this body is like dhoti for the soul, you see. So All this sense gratification for the body is not us. Not us at all. It's external. Simply gratifying the body, it doesn't touch the soul. What is the happiness for the soul? To be reconnected with the source of all existence, Krishna.
Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchirananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakar Karanam.
Why is that? Someone say, well, why is connecting with God a source of happiness? Because the scripture says so? I mean, what's the scientific reason that being reconnected with God is a happy position? Just like the fish back in the water. In other words, happiness is natural, and misery is unnatural. That's like we say, know who you are and be who you are. Be natural, man. You see, don't be unnatural. Everyone talks about being natural nowadays, but they don't know what it means. We got to get back to natural living, you see. Natural food, natural habitats, got to be natural. Some people think being natural means going naked, you see. Oh, I'm natural. They call it, I think, all natural, naked. You see. But what is actually natural? You see, that they don't know. There's two naturals. There's the material nature and the spiritual nature. So what, if someone says, I just want to be natural, which way do you want to be natural? You see? You can be completely absorbed with the material nature and be natural in that way, and the spiritual nature be natural in that way. Actually, everybody's natural. The whole world is natural. Material nature. So which nature do you want to be attuned with? The nature of temporality, ignorance and misery, the nature of eternity, knowledge and bliss. You see, you have your choice. Which nature do you want to be attuned with? You can choose. I mean, every minute we're making that choice. Which nature do I want to be attuned with? The nature of the mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness, you see? Or I want to be attuned with that nature which is beyond these modes of nature. We have a choice. That's the beauty of existence. You have a choice which nature you want to be connected with. You have a choice. Unfortunately, due to miseducation and lousy, cruddy examples by the leaders in all fields, political, economic, educational, entertainment, etc., you see, we're getting a bad example. We're aligning ourselves with that nature, we're attuning ourselves with that nature, which is simply a source of misery and anxiety. For some so-called happiness, you see. You know that Shreya and Preya, you see. Something appears to be very pleasant. And some quick, as they say, cheap thrills. I have some quick, cheap thrills. Or I can do something a little more austerely and get some incredibly fantastic happiness. You know? Just like I always give the example, when I was in high school and down in Houston. Houston is a very muggy city. I mean, it's really, really hellish. It's the first city to have an air-conditioned sports stadium, the Astrodome, completely air-conditioned sports, because it's so hellish down there. The mugginess, the Texas heat combined with the Gulf of Mexico mugginess is like intolerable. But in those days, they thought, The school district had, there was no air conditioning in the school. It was okay up until around May. But, in May, you know, in fifth period physics class, it was like, get me out of here. It was, you know. So anyway, some of the students, they thought, yeah, I'm getting out. I'm dropping out. I'm going to work at the gas station. I'm going to get me a cool hot. That was the big thing back in the 60s in the U.S., you see. Hot rods. All the pop songs are about hot rods. Little Deuce Coupe, Dead Man's Curve, all these popular songs are about hot rods. That was a cool thing in America back in the 60s. If you have a hot rod, you're really cool. You're like a hero. Yeah, I got a hot rod. Hot rod means they take a car and they put a special engine, a special transmission, special tires, so they can, you know, accelerate really fast. It's called a hot rod. That was the cool thing. And then surfing came in too. Surfing and hot rods was the big thing back in the 60s. If you're a high school guy and you had a surfboard and a hot rod, every girl in the high school would be after you. It was considered really big if you had a hot rod and a surfboard. So anyway, one of the boys, he dropped out. He got a job at the gas station. He got himself a hot rod, you know. And he'd be out there, and we're in there suffering like anything in fifth grade physics class. You know, he's out there in front of the high school with what's called burning rubber, where your car's at a standstill and you push down heavy on the accelerator and the tire just spins. The car doesn't go anywhere. It sits in one place and just spins and burns. Some of the rubber just burns off and it makes a horrible screeching sound, you see. So it's showing your great, how powerful your hot rod is, that I can just sit here and burn rubber. The engine is so powerful, I can just hit the accelerator and the wheels spin, and the car doesn't go anywhere. So anyway, one of our fellow students, he dropped out, he got his hot rod, he's out there burning rubber, and then accelerating up and down the street. And showing off, you know, ha, 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 here I am out here, having a great time, my hot rod, and you're all there in fifth grade, fifth period class, yeah, showing off. Yeah, he's getting great pleasures, showing off to all of us in his hot rod. You see, the dropout from the high school. But 10 years later, where is he? He's still working at that damn gas station, getting minimum wage at the gas station, and all the people who did the yoga, you know, tolerating fifth period physics class. Now they have, you know, college degrees, are sitting in some air-conditioned office and enjoying fatty salaries, you know. And he's still out there working at the gas station. You see what I'm saying? So that's Shreya and Preya. Well, it's immediately pleasurable. Get out of that hot, muggy school. Get out there in my hot rod. It seems so really nice, you know. I can be the envy of every kid in the whole high school in my hot rod, you see. It seems really great. That's called Preya. What's immediately pleasurable, Preya. But Shreya, you do some yogi, you do some austerity, you see. You do some tapa, some austerities, because the end result is you get something, you know, a million times better than the person who went after Preya, you see. So we give up some pleasure, you know. We give up having, we give up illicit sex, which is the number one pleasure in this world, illicit sex. We give up intoxication, we give up gambling, meat eating. We rise early in the morning instead of sleeping in like a bear. We rise early in the morning. Actually, Prabhupada, we just read in the Bhagavatam Purport, 5:5, 5:8:8 Purport. It was quoted in Thought for the Day about the necessity of attending, of rising early and bathing and having Mangal Arati. To prevent one's, even if one is highly advanced, if he ignores these principles, he can fall down, Prabhupada is saying. So, of course, I'm so advanced, I don't have to worry about it, right? One has to be very, very careful. As soon as one becomes lax, daisical, in following regulated principles, you're flirting with Maya, you're courting disaster. So, therefore, I made it my practice for the last 43 years, Mangal Arati every day. We were staying in the hotel. We were in the hotel. We sang Gavastikam prayers, yeah. On our way here, we transited through London and we sang. We got together, we sang their Gavastikam prayers when we went to the airport, you see. So, this is a little austerity. We could have slept a little later. Why spend some time singing Gavastikam? We could have slept for another 10 or 15 minutes, you see, instead of singing Gavastikam prayers. But no, get up early enough so we have enough time to sing Gavastikam prayers before we head out for the airport, you see. Because this, if you do this tapa, you do this austerity, and the result is, what do you get? You get Krishna. Krishna becomes your property. that Supreme Person who controls and owns everything, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshvaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantam Richati, that personality owns and controls everything, is the supreme well-wisher of every single living entity throughout all of existence, becomes your intimate associate. You have your own personal, intimate relationship with Krishna. Not that you're just one of a million devotees looking at Krishna up there somewhere in the distance. No, you have your own close, intimate, personal relationship with Krishna. That's what you get. In any one of five primary rasas, Shanta, Dasha, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, in any one of five primary rasas, you get to have a relationship with Krishna. Your own personal relationship with Krishna. He becomes yours and you become his. That's what you get. It's a position better than being Brahmaji. Position better than being a Hollywood movie star or a rock and roll star or a president of the United States or anything, you see. That position of actually having the Supreme Person who's the source of all existence as your intimate associate. That is, there's no comparison to them. And that's what you get if you take this process seriously, you see. Do the austerities. Now, we have a tendency to water it down. You think, well, I'm a well-respected Prabhu around the temple. I don't have to worry so much about strictly following all the principles. Well, I've seen the well-respected Prabhus come and go over the last 43 years. I've seen him come and I've seen him go. I just got an email from somebody in Italy. He was saying how there was hundreds of devotees and now there's out of that there's maybe two or three left. From back, he was a devotee in Italy back in the 80s. There was hundreds of devotees, and now there's only like two or three left from those hundreds of devotees in Italy. So, don't be a fatality. We have to be very careful that we are not fatalities. It's very easy to become a fatality. You start listening to your mind instead of listening to your spiritual master in Krishna. You start listening to your mind instead. You're on the way to becoming a vitality. So don't listen to your mind. Don't listen to your mind. Your mind is rascal number one. Your mind has dragged you through the cycle of birth and death for millions and millions of lifetimes and will continue to do so. So don't listen to your mind. You bring your mind under control. And then you're a yogi. Otherwise, you're simply a nonsense rascal. Servant of the whims of the mind. Bajahure mana Srinandanandana Abhayacharanada Vindare. My dear mind, please engage yourself in the devotional service of the Divine Son of Nand Maharaj. So we have to bring our mind under control. We have to charm the mind. Otherwise, we can be back there in the material world very quickly, very easily, be back there in sense gratification, lost in the cycle of birth and death once again. It's very easy to fall down. There's an old song, it's easy to fall and so hard to climb. Pretty soon I'll be falling all the time. It's an old song. So it's very easy to fall down in Krishna consciousness. And it's not easy to become advanced. But if you take the proper method, if you follow the instructions of the spiritual master, follow the instructions of the acharyas, you follow the instructions of Krishna very sincerely and seriously, and it's easy. Just like many householders now, they say, I can't follow this principle. It's okay to have illicit sex. I mean, it's not really that bad. It's my wife, after all. I mean, someone wrote me and said, it's not really breaking the principles, you know. It's not breaking the principles. But Prabhupada said, if you engage your wife in breaking the principles, you're turning her into a prostitute. He says right in his books, you see. So, are we going to follow, you know, what's becoming the popular opinion in ISKCON now, that it's okay to have illicit sex with my wife, or are we going to follow Prabhupada? It's becoming the pop. Now we see a vox populi manifesting in ISKCON, that it's okay to have illicit sex with your wife. But after all, she's your wife. You see, the difficulty is, if we allow that principle, well, you're married, so then we have to allow the gay people to also. If the householders can gratify their genitals for some relief of the tension of their job or whatever, then why you allow the gay, not allowing the gay people to do the same thing? You see, you're discriminating against the gay people. You have to allow gay marriage and gay sex. If you want to allow the householders to have illicit sex, non-procreational sex, then you have to allow anyone to have none. Then brahmachari should be allowed to masturbate also. I mean, after all, you don't want to, you know, everybody has to have their sense gratification and relieve their tension. I mean, it's a ridiculous philosophy. But it's becoming very prominent in ISKCON now. So I'm fighting against it. But it's not easy. Not easy to fight against it. The official questionnaire for initiation that I've seen from our Delhi temple facilitates illicit sex for initiated devotees. The questionnaire for initiation facilitates it. The official questionnaire from the temple facilitates illicit sex for householders. I feel like I'm fighting a losing battle here when the temples themselves are officially sanctioning it. But anyway, I'm going to stick with Prabhupada. If they want to introduce principles that are against the teachings of Prabhupada, that's their business. But I'm going to stick with Prabhupada's teachings. Because I can see that if we allow this, then we have to allow that also. We have to allow the homosexuals the same privilege. They have to allow the same thing for them. So anyway, are there any questions? Yeah.
Srila Gurudev, if one tries to follow the spiritual master but constantly falls short, then what is to be done?
He has to take help from the spiritual master. That's all. My dear spiritual master, I'm having difficulty. Please help me. That's you know, on your own strength, you can't do it anyway. You require the mercy of the spiritual master. So if you're trying to do it on your own without getting the help of the spiritual master, that's your own pride. No wonder you're not successful, because you're trying to do it on your own strength. You have to realize, on my own strength, I'm nothing. I require the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of the previous acharyas. Only by their mercy can I be successful in following this process, not by my own strength. This isn't the yogis on their own strength. The bhakta understands I have no strength. I'm fully dependent on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. That's the difference, you see. He doesn't think my own strength. He says, I'm very weak, I'm very helpless, therefore I'm begging the mercy. By their mercy I can conquer these senses. You understand? Yeah.
You were mentioning all the different rasas that one can have with Krishna.
Yes.
Is it all right to meditate on having a relationship with Krishna
in a certain what rasa?
In multiple ones.
Actually, every rasa is multiple except for shantaras. They're all multiple. Because servitorship includes neutrality. Friendship includes servitorship and neutrality. Parenthood includes friendship, servitude, and neutrality. And conjugal includes parental, friendship, servitorship, and neutrality. They're all multiple except for shantaras. They're all multiple. The other rasas are included. Prabhupada gives the example, just like in the elements. in the element of ether, only sound is manifest. You see? But when you come to a little bit grosser level, you come to air, then touch is also, sound and touch are both present within air. You come to fire, then you have sight, touch, and sound. You come grosser level, you come down to water, then you have taste, sight, touch, and sound. You come even grosser down to earth, then you have aroma, taste, sight, touch, and sound. So conjugal rus is compared to earth, you see. Parenthood is compared to water. Friendship is compared to fire in this way. So there are multiple rasas within every rasa. But the thing is, we to actually think, well, I would like to have this rasa or that rasa, that's premature. One should not do that. One godbrother foolishly was preaching at the Sunday love feast to all the guests that they should choose their rasa. This is not correct. Rasa is actually revealed at a highly advanced stage, the asakti stage, when one realizes his rasa. One should not try to jump prematurely to, well, I like to be a cowherd boy or a cowherd girl. One should not do this. And this is called sahajism. There was a whole controversy in Los Angeles that Prabhupada came in and he shut down this sahaja group that wanted to meditate on having a conjugal rasa. He shut it down very, very, it was called the Gopi Bhava Club. Very, very strongly he came down, very chastised them very strongly. The founder, the leader of the group actually looped the next day, he left the movement. He wasn't ready to surrender to Prabhupada. So one should simply think, let me be fully surrendered to Krishna and Guru. That's all. I'm fully surrendered to my spiritual master. I'm fully surrendered to Krishna. That's our rasa right now. Dasa, dasa nidasa. What's my rasa? Dasa nidasa nidasa rasa. You see? Everyone meditate on that rasa. Dasa nidasa 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 nidasa. That is my rasa. If you meditate on that rasa, then you will quickly attain your actual swarup in the spiritual world. But if you want to lay aside, well, I don't want to be the servant, I just want to become, you know, a gopi, then you're not going to get it for millions of lifetimes. For millions of lifetimes, you will not attain your swarupa if you try to jump prematurely to your rasa. But if you think, I'm just the servant, then very quickly you'll actually realize who you are in Krishna's pastimes. Within one lifetime, you can achieve it, you see. Go back to Godhead and be reestablished as a cowherd boy, a flute, a butterfly, a peacock, a rock, a gopi, a dhoti. You can be a dhoti. Krishna's dhoti in the spiritual world. The dhoti is actually a devotee. His dhoti is a devotee. You can be Krishna's dhoti. Would you like to be Krishna's dhoti? We don't want to think about it now, but we just want to be the servant. And then that day will come when we'll actually realize, what is that asakti stage? Maybe I'm there, almost there, one might think. Well, you have to understand what the stages actually are. The first stage, this is all described by Rupa Goswami. The first stage is you have faith in God. And you have faith in the self-realization process. Second stage, you associate with devotees. And third stage, you take up the practices of bhakti, including initiation. That's called bhajana kriya stage. Now you're seriously committed to the process. You've taken diksha, you're following the rules and regulations, no illicit sex, no money, no intoxication and gambling, you're chanting 16 rounds, you're rising early, you're following, all, according to your ashram and your position, you're doing the best you can. And sincerely doing the best you can to serve Krishna according to your situation, whether you're a brahmacharya, householder. There's different situations for different ashrams. But whatever ashram you're in, you're sincerely doing your best to serve Krishna. And by doing that, you see, gradually, the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion, envy, the laziness, all these bad qualities which have been clouded our consciousness for millions of lifetimes, they are gradually purified away, little by little, by little, by little, by little. And finally, you come out of that cloud of material contamination, and you come to the stage called Anartha Nivritti. Now you're almost a pure devotee. Almost. Not fully a pure devotee, but you're getting close to being a pure devotee now. You see, all that is, like we say in that verse, Nashta Pareshabadeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevya Bhagavat Yuttama Shlokir Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. By regularly attending classes in the Bhagavatam, by serving your spiritual master, all that is inauspicious in the heart is destroyed almost to nil. You see, now almost to nil. That's the Anartha Nivritti stage. You see? And then, from there you go to absolute pure prema bhakti. The first thing is you come out of Anartha Nivritti, now you become nishtha, you become solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. That you don't waver. There's no wavering, even the most subtle wavering within your heart, nothing. Solidly fixed. And then from nishtha you go to the next stage, ruchi. This is when the holy name is so sweet that you could chant the Maha Mantra for 10 million years and never get tired of it. If your body will allow you, you see, didn't get in the way. You can go on chanting Hare Krishna, just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, for 10 million years and never get tired of it. Just get sweeter and sweeter nectar. And with every recitation of the mantra, it becomes sweeter and sweeter. That's the ruchi stage. And then, when you're getting that much nectar, you become absolutely, totally attached to Krishna. That's called asakti, and that's the beginning of pure bhakti. The beginning of pure bhakti. Now you're totally attached to Krishna. Absolutely, totally attached to Him. And then you start, then you realize, actually, I'm in such and such a relationship with Krishna and my eternal sarupa. You actually realize what your sarupa is at that point. But you're not situated in it yet. You just realize what it is. So at that point, you what's called Raganuga Sadhana. You actually take guidance from a Brijabasi who's in that particular rasa, and you learn how to reciprocate with Krishna in that particular mood. That's called the bhava stage. And then by reciprocating in that particular mood, then finally, now you're fully reestablished, you're trained up in your actual constitutional position, you fully enter into it again as an eternally liberated soul in Krishna's pastime. That's prema stage. So we don't try to jump. There's already enough monkeys in Vrindavan swinging from branch to branch. We don't want to try to jump over the stages. You see, jump over the head of the sages. We just follow very humbly in the footsteps of the great acharyas, and we're taking their dust as our footstep, their foot dust as our footstep. We just follow in their footsteps, and then by their mercy, in that dasana dasana dasa consciousness, that all that dirt will be burned out of our hearts. We'll actually achieve Anartha Nivritti. And after Anartha Nivritti, see, up to the perfection of Anartha Nivritti, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to get up. It's a struggle to stay awake in Bhagavatam class sometimes. You see? It's a struggle to control our senses. You see, up until Anartha Nivritti is perfected, we struggle. We struggle a lot. The modes of nature, we're battling out with the modes, we're struggling. But Prabhupada says, after Anartha Nivritti, there's no more struggle. It's automatic after them. So we should struggle like anything right now to get free of all these contaminations of the heart. Struggle like anything. Work very hard to conquer all this dirt in the heart. The reward is very, very great. A great, great reward is waiting us. We do that. A great, great reward. So, one last question? Yeah.
Srila Gurudev, when we talk about being very strict with the principles and making sure that there's no deviation, etc., then a lot of the persons who may have initially been attracted to the movement might basically fall off.
That means we're not preaching well. We're not actually giving them a connection with the higher taste. If our movement is just some kind of a spiritual organization where we have nice, friendly relationships and that's okay. But we have to actually teach them how to connect with Krishna. Not just how to, enjoy serving out the Sunday feast or something like that. Just like even getting somebody into book distribution, that's not enough. Prabhupada, Narantra Prabhu, asked Prabhupada in Atlanta when I was there. He said, he just came back from Sankirtan with a van full of brahmacharis, Prabhupada, how we can please you the most? Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. So if we teach people how to love Krishna, then they can easily give these things up. But if we don't teach them how to love Krishna, Prabhupada said it's easy to be a brahmacharya if one's properly trained. We're not training them properly, that's all. We are failing. If people cannot come to this standard and we're not training them properly, that's all. It's our own fault. I don't blame them. It's our fault. We're not giving the proper training to them. How to connect with Krishna? The reservoir of unlimited pleasure. So therefore, because they're not getting it with Krishna, they want to get it with illicit sex. You see? Because we're not connecting with Krishna. It's our fault. It's our failure. That means we're not connected with Krishna. Because we're not connected, we can't connect them either. So I don't blame them. It's the ISKCON leaders. We're at fault, you see? Those who are leading ISKCON, if the people who cannot follow these principles, then it's our fault. Because we're not connected with Krishna, and we cannot connect them with Krishna. But I never forget when I was a young brahmacharya, that householder couple. I told the story many times. You probably heard it. You may not have heard it. This householder couple, I was a brahmacharya in our Miami temple, standing there. It was quite an interesting temple. We had what is it called? Banyan trees. It was a banyan tree grove. Quite an amazing location. In Coconut Grove, Florida, we had banyan trees in the yard. And Prabhupada even told us how we could worship the banyan trees. It's interesting. But anyway, I was out there standing under the banyan tree one morning, and a householder couple walked up to me. And they said, Sankarsan Prabhu, the man said, I wanted to share something with you. Last night, my wife, we were following the rule, to chant 50 rounds before having sex or trying to have a kid. And after we chanted the 50 rounds, we said, oh, let's wait until next month to have sex. They were following the rule, no sex except once in a month after chanting 50 rounds. And actually, Prabhupada said, and with the permission of the spiritual master also, you don't mate without gurus. You first get the blessing. Guru Maharaj, you give this permission to try to, your blessing to try to have a child. You don't even do it on your own. You first get your spiritual master's blessings. Prabhupada says it right there in his book. I don't think anybody is preaching this in this kind except for me. I'm alone. I'm crying in the wilderness, I think it. I'm the only one who's actually telling devotees what Prabhupada's standard is, because everybody else is, so far as I see, everybody else, maybe Bhaktivinoda Goswami is doing it, practically everybody else is watering it down. They're polluting our movement with this diluted philosophy that it's okay to have illicit sex if you're married. Practically everybody is diluting our philosophy. In 1 minute. I haven't finished the story. Well, actually, almost finished. And they said, yeah, but we're going to wait till next month before we have sex now. We're getting so much negative from chanting Hare Krishna. Who wants to have sex and come down the bodily platform? Yeah.
Related to that, you were saying that there are many temples who are sanctioning illicit sex between...
Yeah, yeah.
How is that something that's not brought to the attention of the GBC? Or that's not something...
Apparently, I don't know. I don't know. I can't say. I don't know.
What is the question?
What is the GBC doing about it? Yeah, that's what he's asking. Is the GBC aware of that? Some BBCs may be facilitating it, apparently. So, you know, there's some, it appears that some of the GVCs may be facilitating it as well. So the temple is run. So I can't say I haven't directly. I'm considering writing the executive GBC executive committee about this point. That's my. I need to communicate with them about it because I have very grave misgivings about the direction our society is heading. Very grave misgivings about it, and at least if I made an official letter that the GBC executive, I mean, I've done my duty. If I don't say anything, then I'm also guilty. But I feel an obligation to raise this point with the GBC executive committee, and I hope they'll agree with me. But maybe they won't. Maybe they feel it's not practical. But I don't. I know it's practical because I've been a married man for three decades, almost three decades now. Oh, that three? Yeah, it is three decades, yeah.
This is
30 years, huh?
Yeah.
Happy anniversary. I've been doing it for three decades. And I was a hippie singer-songwriter. You can imagine the lifestyle I had before. You know, I wasn't like some Pukka Brahmachari. I was a hippie singer-songwriter. I mean, I don't want to say anything about what I did, but you can get some idea. I was not some pristine brahmachari dropped out of the heavenly planets or something like that. I was a sex monger. I'll be honest with you. I was a sex monger. I had many girlfriends. You know, musicians attract women, so I attracted so many women. And but I completely gave the whole thing up because this philosophy is so powerful. It's so strong. It liberates you. It actually liberates you from all this dirt, this crud, and actually enables you to connect with Krishna and relish the highest bliss just by going, Krishna. In other words, Krishna is better than sex. If you're lusty, just go, Krishna. It's better than having sex 10 million times. One, Krishna is better than having sex 10 million times. So what's the difficulty? Our leaders are not properly training devotees. That's all. If this is becoming the standard in our society, and I see it is, I get emails from people saying, this is what we understand now. This is our understanding. How you can say this? Finding fault with me, you see. So I can understand what's happening. So it's my duty. As long as I'm living in this world, and as long as I'm in this body, it's my duty to pass on to people, for me to repeat what I've learned from Srila Prabhupada. It's my duty. And I have that whole essay. You've read that essay. Prabhupada very clearly says these things. I have an elaborate essay that was published in the Pune Grihastha Manual. They published my essay. So it's my duty to propagate these things, and that people can take it or not. My duty. So I'm doing my duty, and I can die knowing I did my duty, that I presented purely what Prabhupada had taught, whether it's popular, whether it's unpopular, I don't care. I'm not trying to be popular. I don't care about being popular. I just want to preach the truth, that's all. Huh?
Uttama Prabhu said that he was going to put in the ISKCON News also something. Did he do that?
What did she say?
He didn't say that. Uttama Prabhu, did she take your paper, your essay?
I wrote an article about the beards. That's a new standard in ISKCON, the mustaches and the beards. It was absolutely nobody, everyone knew that's taboo when Prabhupada was here. And I wrote an essay about that called The Hare Krishnas or Hare Krishnas. Anuttama Prabhu, who's one of the GBCs, he posted it on the ISKCON news site, and somebody got really, really angry at me. Not a Prabhupada disciple, but a grand disciple. He chastised me, which is very not proper. You don't. He's a spiritual nephew of mine. He's chastising me like I'm some kind of equal or subordinate, you know. He chastised me. He said, why don't you mind your own business, he told me. You see. So obviously he's keeping a beard. He didn't, you know. He's an academic. I mean, it's very clear. Even there's some popular, I don't want to mention any names, but there's some popular kirtan singer now in ISKCON who keeps the hairs, facial hairs. He's considered a superstar in ISKCON. And I wrote to my GBC mentor. I have a GBC man I was told to follow his advice on my guru services. Many years ago, the GBC said, take his advice on how to conduct your activities as a guru, because he was already experienced as a guru. I was a brand new guru. He was a seasoned guru. He can be your guru. So I wrote him about this. He said, I said, I'm very concerned that in our society that we're going away from this, we're creating this, making superstars out of people who are not following Prabhupada's principles. And my concern is our movement is drifting away and become another nonsense so-called spiritual organization which creates a disturbance in the human society. I said, I'm very concerned that from within our own ranks this mission will be foiled. This mission will be spoiled. From within our own ranks, this mission will be defeated. My God brother, GBC brothers, I share your anxiety. That's what he told me. I share your anxiety. So, we have to gotta stick to the standards. Stick to the standards. We don't want to water down the standards. We want to stick to the standards that Prabhupada gave. What Prabhupada gave, I don't think we need to change Prabhupada's instructions. I don't think we need to adjust Prabhupada's teachings to suit Vox Populi. I think we can stick to what Prabhupada taught us, and I think by doing that we'll achieve spiritual perfection, we'll realize Krishna. But as soon as you water it down, we just become like the Christian church or the Muslim church or whatever, and just become another quasi-spiritual organization with some God consciousness but no pure bhakti. That's where this movement will head. If we don't stick proper to Prabhupada's teachings, pure bhakti will be lost. It'll just be this pseudo, the karma mishra bhakti like everybody else is doing. So we really have to do our duty. We have to read Prabhupada's books and follow what's in the books and not take Vox Populi as our new guiding principle in this movement. Prabhupada said, Ekash Chandra, if there's one moon that can light up the whole sky. I don't need millions of stars, I need one moon. So I want my disciples to become moons. I don't need superstars disciples, I need moons, super moons. They'll become moon-like devotees, you see. Can light up the whole sky of the world by purely following Srila Prabhupada. That's what I want from my disciples. So we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai.